The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Accounts of how the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, one from the Acts of the Apostles and one from the Gospel of John. They differ in the location, the timing, how many people were present, and what was the results of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And although they might seem to us that they contradict each other and say, "Well, what's going on here? How did it happen?" Really, if we look more deeply into it, they're not contradictory. Actually, they're given to us from two different perspectives. The perspective in the Gospel of John is from the perspective of through the eyes of the gift giver. The gift being the Holy Spirit and the giver being God. The Holy Spirit comes from God. In both reading, in the Acts of the Apostles, it comes as tongues of fire. It's not something that we acquire. It's not something that we bring about. It's not something that we deserve. It's the free gift of God that God gives to us, even on that first Sunday of the resurrection. That evening when the disciples betrayed Jesus, denied Jesus, they're still hiding in fear. Jesus comes to them and says, "Peace be with you." And he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. In the Acts of the Apostles, we're told that happens 40 days after the resurrection of Christ. And now we look at it from the perspective of the eyes of the receiver. What did that gift mean to them? What did it do? Finally, the disciples are no longer hiding behind closed doors. They're no longer, we're not sure whether Jesus truly rose. Did they see a ghost? That it was really Jesus? Jesus has been with them. He talked with them. He ate with them. He appeared to them many times. But now, the Spirit comes as tongues of fire because they were ready to go out and live the gift of the Holy Spirit, to really use that gift that they were given to them. And the gift is tongues because what they're called to do now is to proclaim the mighty acts of God. See, Jesus tells the disciples in the Gospel of John, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." What is he sending them to? To proclaim the good news of his death and resurrection. That the same Jesus who was crucified on the cross died and rose from the dead. And he comes back to give us the Holy Spirit. He comes back to us at peace, in peace, because he died for our sins. He died so we can have eternal life. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. Last Sunday we celebrated the ascension, Jesus going up to heaven, but Jesus does not leave us orphaned. He sends us the Holy Spirit. He sends us the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins, like the Gospel of St. John tells us. Because this is a broken community that Jesus is coming to. Because every time in every place, the church is a broken community. It needs a lot of healing. See, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings about that healing. And how can that healing happen if we're not willing to forgive? Because we're different. Just like we heard in that first reading, the church is made up with people from all different nations, all walks of life, all different beliefs and ideologies and professions. And try to kind of bring us all together. You better believe it, we're going to step on each other's toes. Somebody can get angry, somebody can get hurt, somebody got to, you know, be disappointed. But how we can keep our unity, because the Spirit is the Spirit of unity, to make sure that the body stays together as the one body of Christ, that we remain united with our head, Jesus, and that we remain united with each other as parts of that body that St. Paul gives us in that second reading, gives us the image of the body. That's what the church is like. And just like the body has different parts, so the church has different parts. But each part is entrusted with a mission, is sent to fulfill a mission, a purpose. And that first purpose is proclaiming the mighty acts of God. If you've been listening to the readings from the Acts of the Apostles, if you read the Acts of the Apostles, all the apostles talked about and what they proclaimed, it wasn't like, you know, the Trinity, how the God is a Trinity, or how Jesus is really in the body and blood of Jesus is the Eucharist. It wasn't the catechism of the church or doctrine. They told the people that the Jesus who they knew, walked with, ate with for a couple of years, and died on the cross, rose from the dead and appeared to them. These are the mighty acts of God that they witnessed. And that's what we're proclaimed to share with the world. What mighty acts of God you experienced this past week? Can you think of one? Then Pentecost is when we're ready to go out and share that event with others and give the glory to God. It's God's mighty acts, not my mighty act. That's what that mission that Jesus sends us to is all about. And as we do this, we begin to build that church. People start to come to us just like they came to the apostles, and they were amazed by their message. And they wanted to become like them, so they were being baptized. The church now is at a stage where it needs to grow again, to grow in numbers, to grow in really quality, not just quantity. Because just a simple thing, you know, after a couple of years of COVID, a lot of people just, you know, stop, you know, coming to church, stop receiving the Eucharist, stop, you know, kind of praying, not because there is a reason, it's just a habit. They fell out of the habit of going to Mass, maybe every Sunday or once in a while. They fell out of the habit of praying. Because things change, and when things change, usually our routines all get kind of misplaced and cannot stop, because we're trying to adapt, to adjust to the new reality. So the church today, as the church at any time, needs to keep going out and bringing people in. This is the mission of the church. That's why Jesus founded the church. But a lot of times we kind of get comfortable with where we are and with the people we know, and we feel that's all we have to do. It's all our mission to unleash our tongue so we can proclaim what God is doing in our lives. That's what will attract others. But the other purpose of the church, as people start to come in and we begin to form this body of Christ, is we have to minister to one another and to minister to the world. It's about service. We need to start serving one another. And the purpose of serving one another is not just to serve each other in our parishes, in our communities, but to go to the world, to transform the whole world. We read again in the Acts of the Apostles, as the church grew, then the disciple, the apostle says, well, we don't have time to do everything. We need someone to help us. So they chose deacons. Then they chose presbyters, priests, as they started forming churches in different towns and cities. They need someone to stay there and care for the flock of Christ. Care for the sheep. And that's our second mission. Once we begin to proclaim God's mighty acts, God also works with us and through us, and we have to be the actors of these mighty acts. The church needs to be strengthened, to be built, not by bringing people in, by making sure those newcomers, those new disciples are growing in their faith and being prepared to go out to the world so they can bring others. And that's what I'd like you to think about and reflect on today as we celebrate this Feast of Pentecost. Again, Paul tells us in the second reading that all of us have different gifts, but the same Spirit. There is different gifts, but the same purpose of those gifts is to serve the body of Christ, the church, our community here at Holy Family. So we become a vibrant body, not a sick body, a body that's growing, that's flourishing in all aspects. A body that attracts others by our internal beauty, not just our external beauty, the beauty of our church and our parishes. And we need your help. We need you to allow the Holy Spirit to unleash those gifts that God has given you, your talents that you have, your experiences, the wealth that you have in all of your life experiences, so we can share it with others. So we can care for the poor, so we can help our children learn about Jesus and the faith and become disciples, so we can strengthen family life, marriage, so we can be a voice of justice and equality in the world, so we can put an end to violence and bring peace. That's where we come in. And it starts here in our parishes, in our parish at Holy Family. We are the training school to become missionary disciples of Jesus Christ. And that's where we practice here. Today, as I was walking in the church, I was greeted by a greeter, and she shared with me that's her first day as a greeter. It's very important that we have greeters at the door welcoming people. I mean, Holy Family is known for its welcoming. But we need to make sure we have enough greeters at all the doors welcoming people as we come in into church. In the sacristy, we had the new person who was training to be a lector. Wow. You talk about the mighty acts of God. People are coming up, are starting to come back to church, but not just to come back and sit in the pews, but to have active roles in building up the body of Christ. We have many needs. And what I'd like you to do is take the time and pray about it between now and Tuesday. And this coming Tuesday night, come at 7 o'clock, and we're going to share with you some of our needs. And then you take that and you match it to what are your gifts, your talents, your time commitments, what are you able to do, and what you feel called to do by the Holy Spirit. See, that's the difference between ministry in the church and volunteering at the local library or the hospital. Ministry is a calling by God. God has given each one of us a specific role to play in his plan of salvation. Yes, you and I mean, can you believe this? That really God is depending on each one of us individually? Do you believe that you have the Holy Spirit, the power of God to fulfill that mission? To make this world a better place so that by doing this, one day you can reach the perfection of this God's creation and be with God in heaven. We are saved through Jesus Christ, obviously, but also we are saved by accepting the gift of Christ. and living the life of service that He calls us to. Remember this, the gift giver and the gift receiver. You can have the gift, but if you never open it, it's not doing you any good. You got to unpack that gift and let it go out as it did with those apostles on that Pentecost Sunday. Come in, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of Jesus. Listen to our needs. Pray about it and see what the Holy Spirit is calling you to do. But we need your help. The world needs us as the disciples of Jesus Christ to make this world a better place. We don't want to be hearing about mass shootings. We don't want to be hearing about anger and the protests and, you know, people dying, people living in poverty. We have all the tools and means to change this if we trust in the Holy Spirit. And then our lives will be fulfilled. We'll have a meaning for our lives. We will be excited about what we're doing and what's the body of Christ gift to this world. That's when we can experience the other gifts of the Holy Spirit, that joy, that peace, that sense of fulfillment. That's what God calls us to. God wants us to live life to the fullest. Not just to get through life, not to get through day after day, but He wants us to be on fire with love of the Holy Spirit. He's given us that gift. Let us put it to work.